Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio and host of the syndicated talk show, People of Distinction. The talk that gives you an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, alcoleenterprises.com, for more info. Email me through benji@alcoleenterprises.com if you'd like to get involved with what we have going. And as always, please continue to like and follow our broadcasts. People of Distinction is internationally syndicated solely due to the love and support that you all continue to give. We're available across all major distributors, and as long as you keep following, we're going to continue to put out the content. Now sit back and strap in, because on the line with us today, we have Dr. Ryan J. Seidlitz, and we're going to be discussing his amazing book, The Incredible Shrinking Men: Dismantling the Patriarch Within. I love it. It's available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a whole host of other places. But if you want to gather everything that he has in store, people, check out these two sites that I'm about to list for you. The first one is CatabasisLLC.com. Next, PsychologyToday.com, both of which are going to have so much helpful resources, so much information, and I'm telling you, it truly is a one-stop shop. Again, CatabasisLLC.com, followed by PsychologyToday.com. And before we go any further, I want to quickly take this opportunity and point out the fact that Dr. Seidlitz was brought to us by one of the best publishing firms in the business. People, you already know, I'm talking about City of Books. So for my writers out there who have gone through their process and now you need some help moving that masterpiece you developed, well, look no further than City of Books, people, because they're one of the best movers in the business. Head on over to cityofbooks.com and gather all the ways that their fantastic team is going to help you do just that. And listen, it is a pleasure to have Dr. Seidlitz here on the line. People, we are going to get into it today. I got a question for you, man. Ask yourself this. What exactly does it mean to be a man in today's world? I mean, you know, listen, I think it's a fair question. I think it's one delving into and one worth discussing, because in a society that often equates masculinity with stoicism and strength, man, Dr. Seidlitz is here to offer a thought-provoking narrative that's going to challenge each and every one of us to rethink everything we've been taught. His groundbreaking book delves into the transformative power of vulnerability, grief, and emotional connectivity, offering a bold new vision of masculinity that fosters resilience and compassion. People, I'm here for it. I'm telling you, this is a discussion I'm looking forward to having. And I know you are all looking forward to listening to it. And by the time we've concluded, you're going to run and purchase your copies, because, yeah, we're not going to give it all away here today. Okay, we're going to scratch the surface. We're going to cover a little bit of it, give you a nice little taste, and then you're going to pick it up yourself. Because this is one you're going to recognize. It needs to be added to your shelf. And these are conversations that need to be had. Sit back and strap in. Dr. Seidlitz, first and foremost, man, welcome to People of Distinction. And thank you very much for being a guest. How are you doing today?
Oh, so good, Benji. It's a honor to be with you, and I'm giddy. I'm looking forward to this talk. So, let's jump in.
I appreciate it, man. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. I think what you've done here is something that's needed. I think so often we have these stereotypes, these impressions that we place on ourselves, on those around us, and you know, honestly, man, it's unhealthy for one thing, and it really is unnecessary. Because I don't think that there is just one particular way a man should be. And I'm so looking forward to this discussion. First and foremost, it's important, you know, so everybody knows who you are, your background, and understand that you are equipped to handle this discussion. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, sure thing. So the past, I guess, 2 decades I've spent as a minister, social worker, counselor, and therapist, adjunct professor, and now writer. I've been serving incarcerated men and women the past decade. I hold a master's degree in clinical counseling from Pacific and a doctorate in social work from USC. This book has really taken about 7 years to get published, but it feels like a lifetime to write. And so that's a little bit about me.
Love that. Well, listen, a lifetime to write, because we're ever changing, right? The ever evolving world around us. And also as human beings, we're dynamic, right? We're evolving, we're changing. So listen, it took exactly how long it needed to take to be able to come to this amazing development. I want to start first and foremost From your perception, given your experience, man, and it's almost an unfair question because I think it's very subjective, but how do you define healthy masculinity in contrast to the traditional Western concept of manhood? And why is that shift necessary?
That's an incredible question. I think one of the aims in this book is exploring how men can become better stewards of their pain. Mm. How do we own our shadows, those things that we've not addressed or maybe even acknowledged, the things we do not want to think or feel, the things in us that we despise and have been running from. So one of the questions I approached was, how can men approach these not in resistance, but how do we open up to the discomfort that's so that we can become the men our families, our communities, and this country, frankly, needs and have been waiting for in such a time as this. I think it's really too important for us not to do the inner work, because if we do not, we're going to see firsthand how reckless society can become. So parts of the book I share about my own personal story, my narrative, my trauma, my inner work, and what it's been like diving into really the soul work, the shadows. And I kind of paint a picture of what's it been like for me. The last 7 years has been very intentional with my own meditation practice and doing meditation retreats, silent retreats, 3 to 5 days, just listening within, slowing down, and really unlearning a lot of the messages that I've received about masculinity. So in some ways, how do I sit with the suffering and to learn what a tender, compassionate, and whole man might look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. You know, Dr. Silas, I can't go anywhere else now, man. Talk to us a little bit more about your particular journey and what inspired you then to culminate everything into this book.
Oh, man. The work started in academia. I studied at USC, and it moved into a grief piece about my own father. He was diagnosed with glioblastoma, which is a rare and extremely aggressive form of brain cancer. Mm-hmm. In 2018, and he died in 2020, and life was never the same after he died. He was and continues to be one of my favorite men, people, and really was monumental in writing this book. And I think the older I get, the bigger his spirit grows in me. Mm. And so what I've learned in my own grief was this concept of gone in body but here in spirit has been an important grief lesson for me. So really writing this book was a cathartic release, and grief, one of my healers in a way.
Wow. Well, listen, man, first and foremost, thank you very much for sharing such a personal aspect of your life. And, you know, people, listen, I know he's not looking for the praise, but can we just stop and take a second and examine how oftentimes, man, it's hard enough for us to look at the mirror at ourselves, let alone construct this window for others now to peer into some of the deepest aspects of our souls and try to find themselves within it, right? Because that's really what he's doing here. By taking that leap of faith and showcasing himself, we are now able to look at some of our own vulnerabilities, to look at some of our own quote unquote, you know, weaknesses. And although, you know, again, I say purposely quote unquote, because they're not weak at all. But it is a highlight that's going to lead into my next question. This is something incredible and something so beneficial. The book is called The Incredible Shrinking Men, Dismantling the Patriarch Within by Dr. Ryan J. Seidlitz. You're going to want to head on over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a whole host of other places. Check out catabasisllc.com as well as psychologytoday.com to gather more information. Dr. Seidlitz, my next question, when we're talking about that quote-unquote weakness, right? I'm curious to know, from your understanding, why do you think vulnerability is often seen as weakness in men? And how can embracing that vulnerability actually build strength and resilience?
Oh, man. That's an incredible question. I think the first thing, I think many times we're not aware as men of the actual messages we received, even starting in kindergarten from 5, 6 years old, that are just ingrained in the society, and I think add to men deteriorating from the inside. So messages like big boys don't cry, big boys don't show vulnerability, don't be a mama's boy, a man up mentality, even for our boys, a pressure to grow up, even in adolescence, this reinforcing only aggression, domination, anger, and a rejection of the feminine or this equality mindset, and then normalizing transphobia and homophobia. These are all messages that most boys, I would argue, are ingrained at a young age. And I think it really adds to this deteriorating from the inside. So I would start there. First, how do we acknowledge these social norms first? And then we have to unpack and deconstruct. And I think the deconstruction is what you voiced really well. It's a painful, really intense journey that many times is full of suffering and grief.
Dr. Seidlitz, what would be one simple but powerful action that you would say men can take today to start and, you know, really begin their journey towards emotional growth?
Yeah, I think, man, and this is not going to be necessarily the fun work, but I think what men have been avoiding so long, and the word suppressing, kind of pushing down, the shame, whether it's pain, suffering, like I said, loss and grief, the heartache, the depression and regret, embracing those important teachers are the actual pathways to healing and growth. And so this idea of how do we break open ourselves from the inside in the most meaningful of ways. And in the words of many experts, teachers, gurus, rabbis, this idea that suffering is actually grace, that our heartache is actually avenues to freedom, the emotion that men have been avoiding is the actual tool that can free them, and it's already within them. So it's nothing external to pursue. If we don't become better stewards of our pain, I think we'll continue to cast large shadows on our loved ones and communities.
Yeah.
And so how do we start first within and what we've been avoiding for so long? Again, when I say suppressed, it's really what are the things that I've been hiding from that I do not want to think or feel? Those are often the tools to get us to a place of opening up. And so I talk a lot about a breaking opening. And again, this is not like happy, light work. This takes intensive work. And so what I've really learned is some of the most important life-changing lessons have grown out of my own deep suffering, such as losing my father, one of my heroes, just an incredible guy. And so it's through a lot of that pain that really I was able to kind of unpack that healing. But it's incredibly uncomfortable, incredibly uncomfortable. Yeah.
Well, you know, uncomfortable, but a necessary step in the process, right? And people, again, remember, much easier said than done. And I think it's important to acknowledge that ahead of time and understand the work is there and needs to be done, right? We can't skip steps, but your future self will thank you because of it. My next couple of questions is going to go into that community that we have around us and also tying into, in part, role models, right? I know you mentioned your father on a number of occasions now, and I understand, listen, as a very a young father in the process myself, my children are very young, but I understand the monumental amount of responsibility that I have. So my question now to you, Dr. Seidlitz, what role does the community play in this in terms of not only father figures and role models, but other men coming together to foster this safe place and well-being for each other to be able to build one another in that?
Oh, man. So well stated. I think for me, a couple things in kind of the process of writing this book. This book would not have been written or published without some incredibly important, beautiful male friendships that kept urging, you got to get this out. You got to put words to your experience, to your pain. And so I think, honestly, without that community, without my brothers that were really encouraging and but incredibly understanding, and allowing me to be vulnerable when I needed to be, and just let me be where I was at. Yeah. And so I think that was a huge thing, because the reality right now is, again, part of the reason for the title of the book was the men are down right now. It does not look good for us right now, despite what we see with many visible male leaders in the country. We're hurting. And we're aspiring to often many men that are not the best examples. And so we have 500,000 men right now that are dying by suicide. We have 80% of suicides in 2020 were men in America. Men represent 93% of the prison population. So the tide must change. And so I think the truth is that we need to stay down in the realm of becoming vulnerable instead of using our power to push people down. And so I think men can be incredible despite our shrinking, and we can transform power to lifting up those that many times we've traditionally devalued. So I think about my dad, and I think about faced older men. And the last time I was in the presence of a kind, compassionate, attentive man, and what that felt like, mm-hmm. and just how safe it felt. And so I stick with that emotion in those moments, because I think we can be really incredible, even though it may seem like we're shrinking. I think we can heal beyond the patriarch. So I think we have many men, young men right now, looking to fill this father void, this father wound. And again, there's this void that we're all looking, searching to meet. And I think many men that I run into are searching for the actual acceptance, the love of their father. And we're filling that void with all kinds of things. And so, and I think we look, again, like I said, to the external, when I think we tend to forget, like, what is within us. Within the soul is actually many times the place to start.
You know, I love everything that you just said, Dr. Seidlitz, but especially that last part. I remember, you know, I'm sure it didn't start here with him, but I'm gonna plug it, because that's where it laid the most impact on me. You know, one of my favorite, I'm a big hip hop guy, and one of my favorite rap artists is an artist, J. Cole. And in one of his songs, he was talking about, you know, true revolution happens within you. And he said that in one of his songs, and I remember hearing it years ago and thinking, you know, when at that time, you know, I was probably in my early 20s or something, and I was just in this period where I wanted the world to I was just expecting a lot from outside sources. I was expecting more from others. I was expecting more from those that were around me, and it finally hit me. And again, I'm sure he wasn't the first to come up with it. And as is so often the case, I probably heard it from a family member, maybe even my parents. And you know how it is. You know, you're a parent. Like, I'm realizing this with my kids right now. I could say something to them 20 times, and then somebody else would come and say the exact same thing one time, and all of a sudden it's like revolutionary to them, and it's groundbreaking, and it opens their eyes. Like, what the heck? I just said that. Anyway, welcome to Father. Yeah. So I remember hearing this, and it really stuck with me, because I realized at that point, you can't control your outside sources. You know, I mean, you can control who you keep around you, but at the end of the day, you can't push them to do or not do anything. So when you focus on within, focus on yourself, man, that is where the true revolution really begins. And there is so much power and wisdom in that. And, you know, because you said that, man, I had another question that I wanted to go into, and it's so not important in comparison, because I want to close out with this next question. If we could issue a challenge, and I use that word purposely, because I do want it to be a challenge for each and every person listening, and for each and every man listening in here, if you could issue one challenge to men reading your book, what would it be?
I think writing this book and losing my dad helped me redefine what home looks like. Mm. And I used to think, for me, home was a place, a childhood house, in space. And I've moved from a place of home as out there, or again, house to a space within me, really the soul. Valerie Kaur, who writes Sage Warrior, I love what she says because she really says it better than I could. We must find this a sovereign place within us and create our home there. And so it's this idea, she says, build a sovereign place inside you, adorn it, explore it, make it welcoming. And you don't need a lot of time or money. Right now, right here, you can drop in and imagine a beautiful and loving space inside you. If we can make that space inside us, that's a hell of an endeavor and incredibly difficult too. But I think that's the place to start, I think, is how do we, again, open up ourselves to the wound, and then how do we move on to becoming, again, better stewards of pain. So I think if I had to say one thing, I think how do we go within and find the nurturing and the safe space that we so need right now?
I love that. People, you know, this has been such a gratifying conversation. And obviously I'm biased because I'm a man, but still, it's something that I think has offered a lot of wisdom. But you know what I love so much more than all of that is, listen, man, we've barely scratched the surface. There is so much left in store. Now, we covered some of the highlights, but like I mentioned, this book is the precipice. It is a movement, and it is the catalyst for change that we have all been searching for. And listen, I know it's for men, and that is primarily what it's geared for, but a lot of women out there listening in, there's a responsibility that you all play as well. For your boyfriends, for your brothers, for your fathers, for your husbands, you have a responsibility in all of this as well to be there to help cultivate the right environment for them to be vulnerable. Because we know the optimist in me is like, listen, man, society is gonna come around and we'll develop that safe space everywhere. Let's call a spade. We're not quite there yet. So it starts off with that home base. And women out there listening in, man, you have that responsibility to play in cultivating that. But like he said, it starts with each and every one of us. So I'm going to say it again. The book is called The Incredible Shrinking Men, Dismantling the Patriarch Within by Dr. Ryan J. Seidlitz. It's Amazon. It's Barnes & Noble. But make sure to check out his other two sites, catabasisllc.com, as well as psychologytoday.com. This is an amazing book. And a wonderful resource that you want to add to your shelf, because I promise you, like I said, this is more than a conversation, man. This is a call to action for anyone ready to embrace a healthier, more authentic version of themselves, because I know I'm ready to. Who's going to join me along on this journey? That's the question. Head on over there, man. Let's get started. Dr. Seidlitz, this has been an absolute honor, man. Truly a wonderful discussion. Thank you once again for being a guest on People of Distinction.
So much fun, Benji. So much fun. You are smooth, man. It's so good.